Everything we say here, and the sources we've extracted the information from, are listed in the link given in this episode's description. A tremendous shout out to the source providers who let us use their information in our podcast.
When I started the script writing sessions of this podcast, I used to wonder how big our universe is and how small we are compared to this vast universe. I get up, stare at the stars and see the marvelous alignment of them. Wow, they look amazing. That's what gets into my mind whenever I see them. And there, somewhere in there, lies the Orion constellation. The constellation after which our podcast is named. The most striking one out there. And in there lies the Orion Nebula. The star factory. Place where stars heal. Listing out the enormity of our universe, I feel so tiny and abandoned. But we've achieved enough to speak throughout our lives. If we make a long list of what we've done in our lives, the talk never ends. As a matter of fact, it's nothing compared to what we should achieve in our future. Well, nothing can be done just by talking and hearing. But we'll be talking and hearing about the things we've accomplished and about the things we'll be achieving soon. Our first episode is titled A Mere 37 Seconds. Wanna know the reason behind the title? Keep your nerve for a while. Firstly, shipwreck. Ever heard this word before? If not, let me refine it for you. A shipwreck in normal words is the remains of a sunken ship that are found in ocean beds or either beached. What's the humongous shipwreck? Might have guessed it, right? Yes, it's the Titanic. We all know about the Titanic. To make it easy for you, it's the unsinkable which sank. That's as simple as that. There are a lot of theories that explain why the Titanic sank, but the actual story is quite impressive. Furthermore, it's painful too. This 19th beauty made everyone's heart melt, yet remained a mystery. But as I told you, you'll soothe in all this time. The Titanic's engineering, the voyage, the construction, everything I read mesmerized me all the time I was reading it. The work, the effort, everything which took place in England was just to leave a treasure under the sea for all time. Luxury and new life. This is what they used to call this beauty at that time. It's been 108 years. Despite that, everyone today knows what happened then. For historical memory to be recalled even after a century, the situation takes a lot in return. Here, it took a lot of lives. That's a huge price to pay. I'm Joshua Khanna, and I'll be hosting the first episode, A Mere 37 Seconds, from our podcast, Orion Speaks. The soul started the construction day. White Star Line, the company which insisted on building this unusual structure, started its planning way before the day of construction. The structure was set to empty way back in time, but the Germans were onto something to build big, something which could afford the Titanic. Here is a news article which was published on 31st May of 1911. Depend this article on the launching day of Titanic, which bragged about the biggest ship in the world, the German ship. He stated they had to be in this way, Hamburg Line, to build the biggest ship in the world. Yet, he formulated this to speak about the ship which was being prepared by the Germans. In the article, he stated that the Hamburg Line is to make an effort to eclipse grandeur and speed that is promised for the Jane White Star Line ships, Olympic and Titanic. Has been revealed here by the announcement that the German company has placed an order with Harland and Wolff for a vessel 950 feet long. This will exceed by nearly 70 feet the length of the two White Star Line ships. The newest liner will be the biggest ship in the world. This all was addressed in the article, which was published on 31st of May 1911. It shows how simple it is for the Americans to just simply ignore the present. I'm just kidding. Though the news wasn't as hot as it should be, by the time the ship set its voyage to New York, the news blew up. Everyone everywhere was talking about it. Though the tickets for travelers were full, everyone wanted their presence in that marvelous structure. Experience it, perceive it. They just wanted them to be a part of history. And unfortunately, their will came true. But all of that in a dejected way. We all know what happened to the Titanic. We all know how it ended. But some claim that wasn't the real thing. Let's hear some speculations of those. Titanic was swapped with his sister ships. The faked Titanic's death to claim the insurance money which was promised for Titanic. Titanic carrying Egyptian mummy in it led to the Titanic's death. Lots and lots more. The actual story which I would expect to be interesting yet amazing isn't the story about the voyage or how this all happened. It's the what caused such a big ship to sink. All the people who were enthused to travel on that ship, praise God it never happened. They must be. Well, we'll be shifting our mood dramatically over the episode, so be prepared for that to happen. First shift, 19's mood. The construction, as I said before, started. Roughly 1500 people were hired to build it. Every day was a working day. There on that harbor, an immense structure made out of iron was built to help the workers enter the topmost points of the Titanic. This was named gantry. In my first glimpse over the image, it felt like it's huge for the 1900s. Well, after having a deep dive into it, it felt like it's required over there. To build such an enormous structure, you need something to reach enormous heights wide. In the report, they stated that a walkable path 6 feet wide was built to move around the formation and stairs to reach the upper portion. That's it. That's what the image has to offer. In that area, workers play a major role. Without them, nothing results. But even the lives of them didn't bother much. No one over there would assure the lives of workers, or even the workers themselves. Well, nowadays when you know something big, construction to be precise, is about to happen somewhere, you could notice some materials or machines which make the work simple for them, to the one who's producing them. Sadly, in the 1900s, you could expect nothing rather than a hammer and a piece of iron. All they did is spirited the iron just to make the work easier for them. So, you could say in those days the work thing was kind of hard for the people. But we establish our future. That's what everyone says. We do something which makes everything a lot accessible and a lot easier. That's what we do. Now my point is, work that time is kind of hard when compared to the work today. So how is it even possible to build an unbelievable 104 foot tall ship? That's a lot for that day. The answer might start here. 1500 workers were hired to build it. As I said that before, They were given their daily work, and the construction eventually ended in 2 years. There might be a long time, but that's the time man work would take in 1900s. And by the way, that's not the answer. The answer is the Titanic's engineering. If we talk about the marvelous engineering of the Titanic, this episode would never end. But I'll make that easy for you. As of that time, building a ship began this way. There's a structure named keel, which is the bottommost part of the ship. It's a long piece of iron with a height of 5 feet and making up a length of 882 feet and 9 inches. The workers started building the ship from the outside. At the bottom, the ship contained watertight tanks. There are 44 of them. Well, most of them contain seawater, but some contain fresh water too. This helps the ship to manage its balance wherever it goes. In total, the tanks carried more than 5,000 tons of water, or over 68 lakh liters of water. That's a lot. And I forgot to say something. The ship was built in backward, in the stern side, I mean in the opposite direction. This makes the process of releasing the ship into water easier for them. For the gantry, it's called the aft. The ship is built and will be moved into the water after its completion. To bring the ship from the construction area into the water, the slip is filled with 25 tons of soap, oil, and tallow. Doing all this stuff, the ship just starts its second part of construction. The second part of construction is filling the ship with required items. The things which will be needed by the ship to move, and the luxury items too. I hope this math explains the situation. Now, after completing the first part of the construction, the ship weighs just a mere 27,000 tons. After completing the second part, the ship weighs a jaw-dropping 52,000 tons. So it's 25,000 tons of items in there. The draft, the distance between the bottom of the ship to the water level, changes from 18 feet to 34 feet just after completing the second part of construction. This defines that most of construction is completed on the water by cranes and boats. The ship can't move by itself. It needs tugboats to move around. This massive creation needed some astounding engineering work, and the Titanic got that in hand. The Titanic's construction was completed on May 31, 1911. A year later, on 2nd April 1912, the sea trials started. Titanic surpassed all of them, and the Titanic began its way into the world of water. It was ready for its voyage, and I was excited as hell to read about the voyage. The day is here. 10th of April, 1912. The day of Titanic's voyage. Cheerful people at the harbor swinging hands for their relatives to leave, and the noisy environment, you can't even listen yourself over there. And with huge honking sounds, the Titanic started its way towards New York. Huge waves and the soft breeze made everyone feel like they're in heaven. The luxury cruiser flew high on the waves, which fell like clouds. Standing on such a huge structure, you would never feel the earth beneath you. That wondrous moment when the Titanic started is still remembered by the ones who saw the Titanic departing Southampton. I could never recreate them for you. Those unusual feelings are owed to them for the price they'll be paying soon. After starting its voyage, the Titanic had to stop at Cherbourg, France and Queenston Island to pick up additional passengers. Here, one of the most famous characters on the ship boarded, Colonel John Jacob Astor and his young pregnant wife, Madeline. And here are some words of the Titanic survivor who tried to describe the Titanic's luxury.
I enjoy myself as I were in a summer palace by the seashore surrounded by every comfort. I was up early before the breakfast and met the professional record player in half hour warming preparatory for a swim in the 6 foot deep tank of seawater heated to a refreshing temperature.
And for the people who joined the Titanic's voyage, passengers on board paid significantly different prices for different service options. The suites and cabins on the Titanic cost the passengers no small sum for that time, at approximately $100,000 in today's dollars. You can see why the world's wealthiest and the most elite sailed on the Titanic. Only they could afford the parlor suites. For the immigrants who travel in the third class, the cost of berth was no small sum either. The immigrants were poor, and raising that kind of money for passage to America was difficult in early 1900s too. But the requirements over there paid all the money of passengers. First class passengers sipped wine and enjoyed cigars, whilst those on the lower decks were overcome with happiness and sadness at the prospect of entering a new life in the United States, but also knowing that they might never see their families or beloved England again. Just not to leave there, the Titanic seemed to have everything on board, including its own newspaper. Yes, own newspaper. The Atlantic Daily Bulletin was printed every day on board the Titanic. The newspaper included news, advertisements, stock prices, horse racing results, society gossip, and the day's menu. The Titanic's menu was kind of weird for me, as I never heard those names before, but I still understand some words in it. I'd love to read them for you. The menu contained egg, chicken, corned beef, vegetables, dumplings, grilled mutton chops, fried and baked jackfruit potatoes, pastry, potted shrimps, etc. Actually, I understand a lot of them. As I said before, the voyage was intentional to make the people enjoy the luxury of the Titanic. As for many, it's a way to start a new life in a new place like New York. After the end of all pleasures and the luxury, the day arrived. April 14th, 1912. Many warnings came up from the other liners that there's something ahead which Captain Smith should look onto. The warnings were transmitted by the Caronia, the Nordam, the Bad Leg, the America, the Californian, Masaba, but the captain doesn't seem to bother much about it. He started to sail at full speeds. The sun started to fade, leaving nothing but freezing temperatures, neither waves to locate the upcoming obstacles. Not even moonlight was present for the crew to look up front. The time is here. 11:40 p.m. The ship's lookout, Frederick Fleet, spotted an iceberg which is as big as it should be. He rang the warning bell, telephoned the officers on the ship's bridge. Frederick Fleet did all of this with his naked eyes, as the binoculars which should be used by him were locked inside by Officer David Blair. David Blair was supposed to be in there but was removed from the crew in the last minutes before the voyage. And to make the matters worse, he forgot to leave the keys behind. The officers quickly tried to turn the ship, but it was too late. The Titanic grazed the iceberg along its side, ripping massive yet several holes in its hull below the waterline. They say neither passengers nor the lookouts feel anything, but the disaster happened by then. Now the clock's ticking by. Every second is a step towards heaven. No one knew this was about to happen, nor did they expect it. At 11:50 p.m., the captain and ship architect Thomas Andrews decided to examine the damage caused by the iceberg. And the reality showed up in front of them. They both could easily decide that ship's not going to last long. By this time, 6 watertight compartments were filled with water and began flooding. So the captain decided to send a distress call to nearby liners. The Titanic's passengers were ordered to get onto the lifeboats. The lifeboats present over there were only enough for half the population on that ship. And this is legal. The number of boats present over there was legally accepted by the authorities. This is because the lifeboats are meant to move the passengers to another liner in emergencies. They were never meant to save the whole passengers afloat. This is the reason why the number of lifeboats were accepted by the authorities. The ship was just carrying 20 out of possible 64 lifeboats. They were pretty sure that the Titanic wouldn't sink at any given time. This guarantee has a theory too. The Titanic had 16 watertight compartments. These are different from the watertight tanks we talked about before. Out of these, even 4 of them were filled with water, the ship would have left buoyant. But by the time captain saw the compartments, more than 5 of them were breached and started flooding. At this time, many passengers didn't understand what was going on. So in this heavy congestion, first lifeboat dropped down with 28 passengers on it, where it could have been loaded by 65 passengers. The chaos led to another misunderstanding. The first officer, which dropped with the first lifeboat, was meant to send women and children first and any men if present over there. But the second officer took it to mean for women and children only. So no men were allowed to board the lifeboats. Now, the distress call was received by the liner Carpathia, which was 58 miles away, and started its way towards the Titanic. Flares were shot into the sky to help the Carpathia locate the sinking Titanic. 1 hour later, the bow of the ship began to sink below the water surface. The intensity of water increased. The water was pouring in 15 times faster than could have been pumped out. Disaster strikes again. The propellers rise upon the water level. Passengers pushed others to get into the lifeboats. Chaos everywhere. Some decided to stay there, and others even gave their seats to more vulnerable passengers. Another hour later, the last lifeboat left the ship. And by then, more than 1,500 people were left behind on the ship. And slowly, the back of the ship gained height. It was gradually rising into the clear sky. And in mere seconds, the electricity compartment was flooded with water and the power drastically died. Even in the pitch darkness, the people on lifeboats can see the shadow of the huge Titanic separated from the deep night sky. The back of the ship gained enough height that the passengers started to fall into the freezing water. Just before 10 minutes from now, the captain announced every man for himself. And the front part gave away under the pressure and collapsed into 2 parts. The front part disappeared into the darkness of the sea. By this time, the captain gave up and decided to go with the disaster. Many say he lost his responsibility as a captain. Some say he remained at the steer till the water buried him alive. Some others say he shot himself in regret of what he did as a captain. And the second part slowly disappeared into the water, drowning the remaining people on that broken ship. Some people died due to drowning, but mostly died due to hypothermia, which deceased them in minutes. After all this happened, some lifeboats returned. And by then, most of them were found dead. Only 4 out of 1500 people were saved from the freezing waters. People died shouting for help. There is no place left for humanity as the greed towards life surpassed it. The Carpathia, which received the distress signal, arrived near the scene after 4 hours and helped the remaining passengers to get ashore. The super luxury $75 lakh ship just took 2.4 hours to rest itself in peace. That's the end of the Titanic. More than 1500 people died in biting cold and freezing waters, yet only 705 people were saved in the disaster. The news was published in next day's newspaper. No one thought of such thing to happen. Losing lives of such count was designated as the disaster of history. And the 37 seconds, which are iconic in this amazing story, belong to the lookout of Titanic, Frederick Fleet. After spotting the iceberg, it just took a mere 37 seconds for the Titanic to hit the iceberg. And that was the written end of Titanic. There's nothing left for me to say. You listened to this and made it till here, and that means everything to me. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you, my listener. I hope you like this. When I read all of this, I understood why the story of Titanic made through all other stories. Every historical moment has its own character to it, and for readers like me, it's a huge thing to complete what we start. And for you, the people who love to listen, I would never let you down about the content and the quality of our information. If you like this, please share this podcast with your friends, relatives, and more. It helps me a lot than you think. So, I hope you'll tune in next time we post a new episode. Hear you in our next episode.
Everything we said here, and the sources we've extracted the information from, are listed in the link given in this episode's description. A tremendous shout out to the source providers who let us use their information in our podcast. Host: Josfer Conner. Script Editor: Davin C. Theme Music Composer: Scott Buckley. Music: Mixkit. Main Sources: Archived news articles, YouTube, Google and Bing. Subsources: British Library of Students, US Newsletter.
I hope this math explains this. many warnings came of many 14th of April 1912. Many warnings came of